Irish Illustrated Insider subscribers. This is Drew Mentock. I'm back with the 24th episode of our bi-weekly podcast series on the feed, Irish Illustrated Interviews. Today, we're sharing my conversation with former Notre Dame offensive lineman Andrew Krestafek, who played for the Irish from 2019 to 2023. He was one of the rare former blue-chip prospects to at least practice every position along the offensive line while at Notre Dame. He also became a double domer, which includes a master's in business analytics in 2023. Today, he's a financial advisor with Vantage Point Financial. Our conversation dives into why he picked Notre Dame over Pitt, where his father played football, learning every position along the offensive line, why he decided to hang up his cleats despite another year of eligibility in 2024, and more. Here's my interview with Andrew. What's up, everyone? I'm here with former Notre Dame offensive lineman Andrew Krestafek, who played for the Irish from 2019 to 2023. You're one of the rare offensive linemen to at least practice every position along the line while you're at Notre Dame. You're also a double domer, which includes a master's in business analytics in 2023. Today, you're a financial advisor with Vantage Point Financial. Andrew, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So I know you're from Pennsylvania. I know their Notre Dame has obviously recruited that area for a long time and has a lot of pretty famous players from that region. But what's your first recollection of Notre Dame? Did you grow up a Notre Dame fan? Like, how did you first become familiar with the Irish as a kid growing up?
Yeah, I'd say as a kid growing up, I was quite the opposite of a fan of Notre Dame. I grew up actually the complete opposite. I grew up hating Notre Dame. My dad played football at Pitt. So huge Pitt fan growing up, you know, had season tickets, went to all those games. So kind of the Big East old rivalries, you know, playing every year. So grew up very much so not being a big fan of Notre Dame at all. Obviously that changed significantly as I got older and kind of got into the recruiting process once I was in high school. Got to know Notre Dame and the coaching staff at that time super well, just because I had a high school teammate, Phil Jurkovic, that was committed very early on to Notre Dame. So the coaches were always around. And I remember, obviously, when I took my first visit, those feelings changed massively. And then kind of just went from there in terms of once I was actually on campus, once those relationships with those coaches at the time had started to be built, and then got to know a little bit more about the guys that were specifically in the offensive line room. Whenever I was being recruited there, it was kind of a flip of the switch to going from not really liking them at all to loving Notre Dame and obviously choosing to commit there and spend my whole career there.
Would you say you were like a little bit of a hater, or how strong were these feelings that you didn't really care for the program?
Yeah. Obviously, I would say it was more of an ignorance hater, more than anything. Kind of grew up like, for a lot of people that dislike Notre Dame, thinking like, oh, like, I don't like them. They seem so stuck up. They're not in conference. I feel like they're better than everyone. That was the perspective I had as someone that grew up a massive Pitt fan. I guess that was, I would say, an ignorance hater.
No, that makes sense. And I do think, yeah, a lot of people don't understand the history of independence and even why that is something that fans care so much about. Obviously, it's not something they initially wanted. It was something they were forced into. And then, so why would they let go of it now that it's to their advantage? So, it's interesting. So you mentioned you started getting recruited. You were a high school All-American. You were in the All-American Bowl. What made you decide to ultimately pick Notre Dame? You mentioned the relationship with the guys, but how did that process come down? Obviously, you were recruited pretty heavily as an All-American. I'm sure there are some those strong ties to Pitt as well, but what made you want to pick Notre Dame?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, not necessarily in order of the top priority, but obviously the school is something, the education is something that, you know, isn't really replicated anywhere else in the country, especially whenever you combine how the school mirrors with the level of athletics there. With education being something very important to me, that was super attractive. The offensive line play historically at Notre Dame is, if not the best, one of the best in the entire country. So that was extremely attractive. And then, like I mentioned too, had a great relationship with the coaches, but even at that age, I wasn't naive enough to think that, you know, the coaches I came in and committed to whenever I was a junior in high school would be the ones that most likely would be there until I left. But it was really the type of people that were surrounding that program, the type of coaches, the type of support staff, and then obviously the type of guys that were in that locker room, specifically the offensive line room.
You definitely experienced that. I think you had three different offensive line coaches while you were at Notre Dame. I believe you started with Coach Quinn. What was it like when you first got onto campus and got assimilated into that offensive line room that, I mean, was I think a finalist for the Joe Moore Award the next year? So obviously a bunch of talented guys right when you got on campus.
Yeah, I think they won the award like my junior year. So I committed in the spring. So I committed like a couple months after they had won, and that was whenever Coach Heistand was still the coach. So he was the first one to initially recruit me, and then when he obviously left Notre Dame, Coach Quinn took over, and he's the one that primarily recruited me for a large part of the kind of process, and then committed to him. Got to school whenever he was still the coach. And yeah, I was fortunate enough. I came in with a tremendous group of guys across the board for my recruiting class, but especially the offensive line group. There was four of us, and all four had come in early in January 2019. So that made it a lot of fun too, just having an awesome group of guys that I was starting off with as well, that were all kind of like that hybrid, senior year of high school slash early enrollee group. And then coming into a group that had guys like Hainsey, Kramer, Liam Eikenberg, Banks, like a very strong returning group of players too. There was a lot to be excited about and a lot of great leadership in that room as well.
Is there any, when you first got to campus, is there any one of those guys that you kind of gravitated towards or took you under their wing or anything like that?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, all of them. The group whenever I was there was extremely tight. Being where I was from, like, and where I grew up and played high school at, Josh Lugg was, he went to my rival high school, so obviously some familiarity with him there, and a couple years older. And then Hainsey having the Pittsburgh roots too. But I would say all really just across the board, that was something that I don't know if I necessarily appreciated as much as I should have whenever I was a younger guy, but as I got older, and especially now, just the culture that, the older guys had always been able to create, for that room was something so special, whether it was, obviously within the football facility, but extending that, to all the other areas of life as well.
And you mentioned going to high school with Phil Drakovic. I think you would have only overlapped for 1 year at Notre Dame. But what was it? Did it help having somebody you went to high school with on campus when you got there too?
Yeah, I mean, certainly having someone super close with at the time too, played football and basketball with for years and years, having been there for a year. Yeah, like you mentioned, kind of only 1 year at Notre Dame together, but yeah, having another familiar face too is always helpful when you're making that big of a transition.
And so you mentioned all those guys that were there for the your freshman and sophomore season. So I think you played in four games each of your first 2 years. And then as a junior is when you started playing in every game, including I think you started the last seven games of the 2021 season, I believe. Yes.
Yeah, I think it was seven. I know. I think USC was the first game I like started in that season, and then started the rest of that season. So yeah, I would say kind of played spart like sparingly, just kind of in those kind of that mop up time, my first 2 seasons. And then, if someone went down for a field goal, maybe something like that. But yeah, started to play more, obviously my junior year, and then finished off the season as the starter at guard.
And what was it like to, I know you probably played tackle mostly growing up, to get on the field at guard. And obviously I think that team was, it didn't quite work out at the end, but in the hunt for playoff went to, a major bowl game. What was it like to get on the field that season and contribute to a pretty successful group?
Yeah, I mean, it was tremendous. Obviously, it was disappointing not making the playoff that year, but nonetheless, at the time, whenever there was only the four teams, To have the chance to go finish the season, and despite it not obviously going the way we would want in that game, it was a great experience getting to go to the Fiesta Bowl, like one of the New Year's Six Bowls. And then yeah, obviously getting to play in a much larger capacity than I had been prior to that point too was tremendous. My first 2 years, I primarily spent all of that time at tackle, and then leading up, or I guess after my sophomore year, kind of went through the process of sliding into guard, and then also starting to very slowly learn center as well. So just having the opportunity to get on the field, whatever position it may be, was something that I jumped at as quickly as possible. So it was tremendous.
And what are the different challenges? I'm curious, and as somebody who, spent time at all three positions, I feel like I always hear like you're obviously playing with more space at tackle, and then things are on you a little quicker on the interior. But what's it like, especially in center? Do you have one that you think is the most difficult? I feel like center having to snap the ball and then them being right on top of you seems like the
Yeah.
most precarious of the positions, but I'm curious to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, so I was fortunate enough slash unfortunate enough, depending on how you want to look at it. I played all five positions. I believe, well, I know for a fact I played all five in game two at what level of capacity, obviously very different. But yeah, I think every position presents a different challenges and different pros and cons. Obviously with guards or with tackles, a lot of space out there, especially whenever you're going up against guys that are, almost as tall as you are, but way, way more athletic in a lot of cases than you are. There's a lot of different challenges there. But I also like athletic just to be, or like tackle, because I had more chances to use some of my athleticism. Obviously the inside three, like you mentioned, those guys are on top of you, very, very quickly. So I like guard for the standpoint of a lot of times you're working with, either your tackle or you're working with your center. I would say personally for me though, center was always my favorite. I like being in control of kind of where we were going. I like kind of the inside game more, but for me it felt like a better combination of than guard did for whatever reason, in terms of it didn't feel quite as tough having those guys on me directly. Whenever I was playing center, I feel like my athleticism was able to kind of help me compensate for I wasn't the biggest, inside interior lineman. So I would say overall, I could make a case for all three, but I would say center was definitely my favorite.
Nice. And in that 2021 season, I feel like with all those guys from the year before leaving on the offensive line, there's a kind of a, definitely a transition period. And I know Blake Fisher, I think, went down in the first game, and then Joe Alt working it eventually. What was it like to kind of be part of that unit where things were kind of, I don't, for lack of a better word, maybe chaotic to start, and then to see you guys kind of come together and gel it and finish the year, well and competitively and kind of get going? Because it, I don't know, kind of when it doesn't start off maybe ideally and then does finish strong, I assume that maybe has a different level of satisfaction.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, there was a lot of kind of unique challenges going into that year, having lost four out of five starters, with Banks and Liam leaving, and then Rob and Tommy leaving as well, with Jarrett really being our only returning starter at center. There was a lot of us that hadn't really played meaningful snaps at that point, all kind of trying to come in and find our groove, and then find our groove together as a unit. But yeah, tremendously satisfying to think about kind of the highs and lows that we went through throughout the season, and then being able to catch our stride as we get later and later into the year, and especially into November. I think for at least our unit, just from a pure confidence standpoint too, kind of after those two back-to-back home night games with USC and UNC. After that point, there was definitely a certain level of confidence and just our group and ourselves kind of moving forward to carry us to the second half of the season.
And so that was obviously also the season, as I'm sure most people listening to this know, where Coach Kelly left before the bowl game. Marcus Freeman took over coaching the bowl game in the, I guess, the Marcus Freeman era that we're in now began. Curious, what was it like being part of the team during that transition? I know there's obviously that the announcement and the meeting shortly thereafter and all those things, but what was it like just to like be a part of the team, kind of come together during that moment and kind of pushing forward too?
Yeah, it was an extremely chaotic couple weeks. I think too, like one of the things you kind of get used to whenever you're at a program like Notre Dame is at the end of every season, there are certain guys that are leaving, certain coaches that are leaving, especially whenever you come off a very good season. There's always attention from, other big programs, the NFL, to where it's like, oh, like maybe some guys would leave, maybe some coaches would leave. I'll speak for myself personally. I'd never thought that Coach Kelly was going to leave, and then for whatever reason, it felt a little bit different. Like if you just at the time were kind of scrolling through Twitter, there was a lot of, people questioning about if Coach Kelly would leave, and then all of a sudden there was a bunch of, oh, he's definitely going to leave to go to, an SEC school, LSU, obviously, is what it ended up being, and then that whole time period was really marked by everyone watching their phones very consistently to see what was being broke on Twitter. And then as soon as something was broke on Twitter, we would normally get a text like 5 minutes later about, this person left, or we're having a meeting about X, Y, and Z. So it was an odd time to kind of where we were constantly refreshing Twitter to see if there was any news. And it was almost like a race between how we would get that news. If you would see it on Twitter first and then get a text, or vice versa.
What was that like? 'Cause I feel like usually, I guess from my perspective as somebody who's part of the media, like we would be trying to, I don't know, come to you potentially to get information, but you were at that time, you and the rest, most of your teammates were looking to like the outside and stuff to find information, but with what was going on with your program, I'm sure that dichotomy and I don't know, maybe lack of awareness or control was probably a weird place to be in.
I mean, it was definitely weird. I for whatever reason, I still have this kind of view of Notre Dame. Like, I don't think Notre Dame's a high turnover place. Like, I don't it's to me, I don't think a lot of people use Notre Dame as kind of that stepping stone to go to, their next spot or a spot they really want to be. So I think for just all of us there at the time, it was very unfamiliar waters. Obviously, Coach Kelly had been there for a handful of years before, so there wasn't really ever a bunch of turnover. So once he had left, it was kind of just like again, not being naive to how college football and the business of college football works, but okay, well, if he's gone, what does that mean? Does that mean we're getting new coordinators? Does that mean we're getting new position coaches? Or we My first thought process was, am I gonna have to learn a whole new offensive playbook? So yeah, it was really just a chaotic time in general, or chaotic couple weeks. And thankfully, kind of that time period of the season too, it's a little bit lighter football wise. We typically get a couple of days off and then really just get about a week or so of just kind of lifting and running. So not a whole lot of football specific stuff going on, which made it a little bit nicer in the sense that like we weren't sitting in meetings wondering if tomorrow we're gonna throw all this stuff away, but at the same time period we're much less busy because we aren't practicing and doing all those things, so a lot more time to sit around and think about what the heck's going on.
Yeah, and then of course you, I guess you got to see Marcus Freeman become a head coach for the first time. What was it like to, I guess, you know, finish off the season and maybe see that growth, but then also going into the spring and his time after that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, he was the defensive coordinator. He wasn't someone that I really had any extended interaction with. But I think the thing that was instilled confidence in a lot of, especially the offensive guys, was how willing to bat and how excited the defense side of the ball were for him to get that opportunity. And then obviously, with him becoming the interim head coach and then head coach and all those things, just getting to hear him speak to the whole team too. Like you very quickly see like how gravitational he is and how motivating he is as a as an individual and as a coach too, that it was hard not to be excited for the future.
And I guess during that transition process, you also had Coach Hiestand, who you mentioned earlier, come back to coach Notre Dame for a season. And you also didn't lose your offensive coordinator in Tommy Reese. I'm sure that helped for that first year. But what was it like going from Coach Quinn to Coach Hiestand for that season? I know Coach Hiestand's kind of demeanor and coaching style is pretty legendary. But what was it like to actually experience that? Somebody who you had probably known a little bit from the recruiting process and when you first kind of started learning about Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I obviously knew Coach Hiestand to an extent. He's the one that actually offered me the scholarship, my scholarship to Notre Dame. So knew him to an extent. Obviously, hadn't played for him up until that point. Had heard kind of what it was like to have him as a coach from a couple of the older guys that had played for him. So it was definitely a big transition. The very different types of coaches. So it was definitely an adjustment. But yeah, it was nice again to kind of have some more of those guiding forces where Coach Reese was still back. So it was still the same offense that we were running. How we went about doing some things obviously changes from position coach to position coach. So there were some adjustments there.
Is there any moments or teachings or anything that stand out from Coach Hiestand when you're with him?
Yeah, I would say the one thing that kind of with Coach Hiestand, the one thing that he does a really good job is, again, kind of going back towards what I was saying initially of what I appreciated so much about those older guys whenever I was, a freshman and sophomore, was he does a great job of fostering kind of an environment that builds like those very strong bonds and that very tight culture within that room. So that was I think one of the strongest parts of kind of his coaching style is that togetherness that he preaches, that unit strength, just across the board there.
And then for your last year, you got a new offensive line coach as well in 2023, and Joe Rudolph, who's still there today. What was it like to kind of go through that period where you had 3 straight years of new offensive line coaches and different personalities? What's it like to navigate that at the end of your playing career at Notre Dame too?
Yeah, I think, with every position coach, coaching switch, there's always going to be some things that are done differently. They teach a few things different. There's always going to be those little differences. Obviously, it's still football at the end of the day. It's still offensive line play at the end of the day. So you have those kind of guiding principles. But I was extremely excited for Coach Rudolph to come in. I had gotten to know him really well when during his time at Wisconsin. He had him and Coach Chris recruited me a lot whenever I was in high school when they were there. So he was someone that I had a ton of respect for, really enjoyed getting to know. And it was also very cool to see kind of his perspective coming from being an offensive coordinator and just kind of the level of understanding of the entire picture that he brought to the table that extended just beyond, what the offensive line's doing. I would say for me personally, I appreciate that it was kind of later in my career that we were bouncing around, or we had those 3 straight years with different position coaches, just because I at that point had a better understanding of, college football, kind of the playbook, how things are run, positionally to, that extent of, techniques, all that kind of stuff. So it made it a little bit easier to, pull from each of those coaches some things that I liked from each of those coaches and, help myself be the best player that I could be without feeling like, all right, whenever I first got there, I felt like I was learning football from, square one all over again. And so you already have a foundation up to a certain extent. And then it's, learning the specifics and ins and outs that each coach always brings to the table.
I know in your last 2 years, your role changed a little bit. You maybe used more in reserve situations, but you came in for some really big games like in 2022. I know you played a lot in Ohio State, the bowl game and things like that. But what was it maybe like for at the end of your career for things to maybe not go exactly how I assume you would have wanted them to go, but to find different ways to stay involved and I assume become more of a leader, as you mentioned, for a room that went through a lot of transition from your junior to graduate senior year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, taking a step back from, being a starter to end my junior year to being in that more reserve role, was obviously frustrating at times too. And I think one of the things that when I look back at my career, one of the challenges, but one of the most fun parts about it was kind of getting to be that swing man, especially kind of going into my last, 2 years, specifically even my last year at points. Throughout my last year, I'd again, whether it was in game, I think in game I played both guards and center positions. Whether it was in practice, I played all five. It was really, it presented some unique opportunities, to just to really kind of go about, how I went about approaching the game of football and preparing for different stuff. Having to be so versatile is definitely, it was hard at times. I think there's a lot of pros to it. There's also a lot of cons to it, always kind of switching around. But I do feel like I was able to kind of make the most of my situation, and really be able to kind of provide a lot of value to our room, just because there was kind of a ton of experience that I had in a bunch of different areas, and was hopefully was able to kind of pass along and help out some of those guys as much as possible.
And put you on the spot just a little bit here, but since you mentioned a lot of the good offensive linemen you play with, guys who play in the NFL were pretty high draft picks still playing today. Who are maybe one or two guys, or if you don't want to single out anyone, you don't have to, but that stand out that you played with from that offensive line room at Notre Dame?
Yeah, I mean it's I mean I would say all of them. It's hard to pick just one. I mean, to come in, like I said, to come into the group where, all five starters with my first 2 years are all playing or all did play in the NFL. And then obviously with some of the guys that were a little bit younger than me, with, Pat Coogan, Joe Alt, those guys, and then even, like Billy and Emil. And then the guys that are still there today, like, I was there with Craig for 2 or 3 years. And then it's been really fun getting to watch even younger guys that were freshmen my last year, with like Sullivan and Tarek and Joe Otter. Like, even those guys that, I was a fifth year senior, they were freshmen, but now getting to see them take over massive roles and have, these big responsibilities, and you live up to every second of it. It's been a lot of fun to watch them continue to excel there. And then also guys that I know and have had great relationships with continue to do awesome things as they've continued their football careers.
And then once you finished Notre Dame, as I mentioned earlier, you got a master's in business analytics. I believe it was with a concentration in sports analytics, but it mentioned you're also a financial advisor, so transitioned into that part of your career. But what was it like to, I guess, hang up the cleats and the helmet and kind of figure out your next step as a professional?
A big transition. I was fortunate enough, with coming in early, I was able to graduate with my undergrad in 3 years. They had rolled out this inaugural, it was the inaugural year of this data analytics with the concentration in sports analytics. So did that my senior year, and then I was non-degree seeking my 5th year summer and fall. For me, like, I have no regrets about my football career. I love football, but I also was very excited about the things that I've done, was able to do outside of football at my time at the University of Notre Dame, and really excited for some opportunities to kind of pursue what was next in life for me. So very fortunate, not only for everything that Notre Dame football gave me, but just the university in general. And then it's obviously been it was a big transition, but an awesome one, kind of, going from college into, I guess I always call it the real world in a sense, to being here in Chicago now for the last 2.5 years. It's been tremendous.
And what's it like to, I guess, still connect with the university? You're obviously been, I assume, watching a lot of the games over the last 2 years. As you mentioned, still know a lot of the guys you played for. What's it like to be maybe more of a fan now and an alumni as opposed to somebody who's on the field and helping the team prepare and doing your different roles and stuff like that?
Yeah, I would say, try to stay very connected with the university. Obviously, being in Chicago, it's like an hour and a half-ish, depending on traffic, to get back. So back a ton, a lot throughout the year for a number of different things. Have family and friends that are in the South Bend area. So getting to go back as much as possible has been fun. I would say for me, I've enjoyed the transition from, being the one playing in the games to actually just being able to be a fan. I get to experience kind of all the fun parts that come with, obviously not just the game. I think the game itself is probably a little bit more fun whenever you're actually the one down there. But everything else that goes into the whole game day experience is way more fun as a fan. I'll say that part. So, it's been a cool transition. I would say my first year out was the year they made it to the national championship with Ohio State. That was a little bit bittersweet just from the standpoint of like I did have my sixth year from COVID and I chose not to take it. So it was kind of like a little weird, like, oh my gosh, if they end up winning it all this year, and I technically did still have another year of eligibility. Might have been kicking myself a little bit there, but no, in all seriousness, the transition's been super fun. I've been able just by proximity of where I live and stay super connected to the University of Notre Dame. So it's been a blast.
And is it, do you find it stressful to watch the games now that you're not contributing? I've heard, talk to some other former players and they're freaking out more than they ever did as a player, it sounds like.
I would say no. I would honestly say that's not the way I feel. I guess my first year, it was a little bit more stressful just because I still knew all the guys. So it's like, oh, if I see someone get rolled up on or like someone getting tackled right behind a blocker, like I still have that same feeling of like, oh, like I really hope those knees, ankles, toes are feeling okay. Like I did when I was still playing. But now that I'm a few years removed, I know less about the specific dynamics that are going on. So definitely less stressful and kind of able to just sit back and relax a little bit more. That first year was definitely like, I remember watching the Texas A&M game and just talking with some friends being like, yeah, they're going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm willing to bet like this is exactly kind of how they're thinking about this stuff. And it was cool to be able to be like, all right, like I still feel like I have a good kind of idea of how this is all going to play out. But now that it's been a couple years removed, it's more of like, nope, we're going to see like what happens just like everyone else. And it's going to be a lot of fun watching. So.
And I guess the last thing I'll ask you about is coming into another, I guess, highly anticipated season. As you mentioned, you're maybe a little bit more removed, but with what you know about the team, what are your thoughts on this upcoming season for the Irish, and what are some of your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, I'm extremely excited. I think obviously have a tremendous group of guys that are coming back with a ton of experience. I think too, just the way that last season ended, just like every Notre Dame fan was extremely upset and disappointed with the fact that Notre Dame was left out of the playoff. But also again, not obviously being in that facility and what is hearing what exactly is being said, but extremely excited to see kind of the motivation and the aggressiveness that the team comes out with. But yeah, extremely excited. I think from an offensive standpoint too, having all those guys that have so much, game experience coming back on the offensive line, there's tremendous excitement there. Having CJ come back is awesome. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think the last time we had a quarterback that was coming back as a starter would have been Book.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, so after Book, we went to Cone, and then it was Buckner and Drew, and then well, it was Sam and Riley, and then CJ's first year. So I think just having him and obviously seeing the way that he grew and progressed throughout the season, extremely excited that he's coming back. And then I have absolutely no worries that the running back room will reload better than ever. I think, I was fortunate enough to be there. Like I came in with Kyron, and then we went right into Audric, into Jeremiah and Jadarian. And I mean, that defense is, I think, should be one of the best in the country with the guys they have coming back there. So I'm extremely optimistic. I'm extremely excited for what's to come this year, and think there's a lot of big things ahead for that team.
I actually have one more question I forgot to ask you. As somebody who, as you mentioned, played all five offensive line positions, how does that influence your game now as you watch, or your time now as you watch it? I assume you're not ball watching. Do you have different thoughts? Like, how does that maybe influence how you pay attention to the game as a fan who has all that detail and is have so much experience at different spots?
I would say, definitely not like a super big ball watcher. Like I definitely always kind of like watch the offensive line, up until a certain point and up until really the ball crosses them, and then kind of look for what's going on. To me, I enjoy watching the game a little bit more that way too, just kind of understanding what all is going on there. And then the last couple of years, there's been no shortage of action and no shortage of fun things to watch once Jeremiah or Jadarian have kind of gotten past the line to, it's not like the play has been over quickly many times, so it's been fun to watch.
Awesome, Andrew. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Of course, thank you for having me.
Awesome. And everyone listening, we'll be back again in 2 weeks.